All right, guys, and welcome back to the NBA community. Salute to you guys. This is the Best of Seven Sports Talk. Seven Mitchell in the building, man. We got a special guest joining us, a very familiar face of the network. We back at it with episode 162. I got the homie JJ Peters from the Sports Town Network joining us this afternoon. JJ, what's happening, brother?
Not much. Thanks again for having me on. It's been an exciting NBA season, especially yesterday's dunk contest and three-point contest. That was pretty good. I haven't seen a good dunk contest in a while, so that was great to watch.
We really going to tap in. Did McClung actually save the slam dunk contest, in your opinion?
I think he did for a bit, because we haven't seen something like that, really. I mean, 2020's dunk contest was pretty good, but the last 2 years, I could forget about. I think he saved it in a way, because we haven't seen anything that way in quite some time, so...
You know, mind you, this guy's coming from the G League. He haven't even played a actual game yet. And, you know, I actually picked him to win this because I've watched some of his social media clips. I knew he could jump through the roof. And then looking at his opposition, I knew he definitely had a shot as long as he executed. So we're definitely going to talk about that. But, again, I do appreciate you coming on to the network. I think this might be the first time this year that we've kind of joined together. So happy late new year to you as well.
Thank you. You too.
For sure, man. All right, man, let's get things started, man. Let's talk about, well, I guess we can go ahead and get started with the first quarter and give our reactions about last night's festivities. I'm going to be honest, JJ, I was kind of impressed. I was satisfied with the events last night, from the skills challenge to the 3-point contest and the slam dunk contest. Were you overall disappointed or satisfied with the performances that we got last night?
I was satisfied. Again, I was glad to see Damian Lillard win the 3-point contest. He's kind of forgotten about, and I'm just glad he was able to win it. That first round, though, Tyrese Haliburton, man, he was going off. I think they said, what, he broke the record.
Tied Steph Curry's record, round. I think.
Yeah. Yep. He was incredible. Buddy Hield was good. Jason Tatum was solid. Kevin Herter, he was a bit rough, but I was impressed with the 3-point contest. I didn't really get to watch much of the skills challenge, but the dunk contest was definitely, I was not expecting that performance from McClung, because especially with being a G League player, I think he's got a 2-way contract right now, but I was definitely impressed with him because, I mean, outside of him, no one really else was great. I know there was a few good dunks from Jericho Sims. I'm trying to remember the guy from the Pelicans now. He was all right, but... Right. I think it was Kenyon Martin's son was all right.
But... He was disappointing. Kenyon Martin's son really was disappointing because he was favorite to go in. And he just one of the things about McClung yesterday was just he was able to execute on the first attempt just about all his dunks. I think that separated him because everybody needed to go more than once for the most part. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
So I was pretty impressed for the most part. And I was glad to see that, you know, the 3-point contest, the dunk contest, everything was great. So.
Yeah, this was the first time that I actually took time out to actually watch the skills challenge. And from start to finish, I was definitely engaged and I was impressed with the competition for what it was worth. The 3-point contest, like you said, that was good as well. I'm glad to see Damian Lillard brung the Weber jersey out, the Weber, whatever the name of that school is, and he got the W. I thought that was important. He said he's going to retire now that he's won it. He's going to retire from the 3-point contest. I did see our social media was killing Julius Randle for his 3-point performance last night. He had 13 points, I believe, in the 3-point contest. Social media went crazy on him. But for those that forgot, y'all GOAT Michael Jeffrey Jordan, he had only made 5 points in a 3-point contest. I know a lot of people don't even realize that Michael was actually in an NBA 3-point contest, but he was. And he only scored 5 points. Nobody brings that up. So it was interesting to see the type of criticism that they gave Julius Randle last night. But like you said, man, overall, last night's festivities was impressive. I can't wait for today's game. It's kind of hard to kind of project because there hasn't been the draft yet. But who do you think or who would you give the win to if you just had to pick on a limb, Team LeBron or Team Giannis?
I'm probably going to go LeBron just because did he win last year? Because I know Curry was the MVP. I think he won. I think he's undefeated now that I remember it.
Yeah.
And he seems to draft a little bit better than Giannis. So I'm just going to go out and say LeBron. I bet he ends up drafting. I bet he drafts Luka with the first pick because I believe he gets the first pick. So,
you think he's going to go with Luka?
I think he's going to go with Luka, and it just kind of. I mean, he could go Tatum as well, or even Jokic, but I got a feeling he's going to go Luka with the first pick.
Gotcha. When we look back at the first half of the season, JJ, let's talk briefly about some things that we pretty much have learned, at least in our opinions. During the first half, I feel like maybe as far as the best team, on paper and off, I still feel like Boston surprisingly is the actual best team right now in the league. Who's your thoughts on the best team right now?
I'm going to agree with you there. I think Boston is. Milwaukee's coming on strong right now. They kind of had a rough start, but I think it was because of the Middleton injury. But Milwaukee's coming on strong. But I right now would think Boston is the best. It's also weird to say the two best teams in the East and not really mention the West, because technically Denver does have the best record, but
yep.
I don't have as much faith in them, especially with what happened the last few years. I would probably go Boston or Milwaukee. Cleveland's coming on strong too, though, especially with how good Donovan Mitchell's been. But I think right now I'd have to pick Boston and Milwaukee. And of course, we'll see what Dallas does with the Kyrie Irving trade. And of course, if the Clippers can stay healthy. But I think right now I would have to say Boston and Milwaukee right now.
Best player so far in the first half of the season. When we talk about the MVP race, I believe at this point, Nikola Jokic is still in first place. I think Giannis has actually moved up to number two, passing Joel Embiid, who's now number three, if I'm not mistaken. Then I think it's Luka or Joel Embiid, then Luka. I know Nikola's still number one, and I believe Giannis has moved up number two. Who do you feel is the best player so far in the first half of the year?
Well, Jokic has been good, but I don't know if he's going to win a third MVP in a row. That would be very hard to do. I right now would probably lean more towards Luka. He has missed a lot. He missed a few games before the All-Star break because of an injury. Excuse me. Dallas looked pretty good, though, with Irving. So I'm going to either go with – I'm probably going to go Luka right now. Tatum's been good, too. So is Giannis, though. Giannis and the Bucks are just coming up really strong lately. But I would probably have to say Luka's been the best. Jokic has been good. Jokic is somehow still underrated, and he's the two-time MVP. But just the way he plays, I don't know if a whole lot of people exactly like watching Jokic, but he's been very underrated despite winning two MVPs, which is amazing. But I'm probably going to say Luka's been the best player right now.
Are you good with if Nikola is the three-time back-to-back-to-back MVP of this season? Are you good with that? Are you good with Nikola Jokic being the three-time MVP of the regular season, but Denver not really doing anything in the postseason?
Well, I think it depends because the MVP is still technically a regular season award. The postseason award for MVP would be the finals MVP. I wouldn't be really necessarily against it. I just can't see him winning his third MVP, not in a row. I don't think he's going to win it again just because I think the voters are not going to give him the third straight year. And I think, too, it shouldn't be, but the postseason is definitely going to come into play. Because the last 2 years, they haven't gotten very far. But I would be fine with it. I just think that Luka is going to end up winning. I mean, Tatum could end up winning it, too, just because his team has the best record. And Giannis could come and get it as well. And, of course, Embiid's been really good the last 2 years as well. But I just can't see Luka not winning it, at least if he plays the way he did in the first half of the season.
Let's go to the live chat. D Brown wants to know, can somebody give me an actual basketball breakdown of how Luka has been better than Embiid on both ends of the floor? I mean, I don't really know where that debate initiated from, D Brown. I don't know where that sentiment came from. Honestly, I think Joel Embiid has definitely been a better player on both ends of the floor than Luka. Maybe every year in and year out. But for some reason, the impact is just different. I don't really know what it is. I think Luka's magic and what he's able to do offensively and as a playmaker, it holds a lot of weight in comparison to Joel being dominant on both ends of the floor, or at least playing at elite level on both ends of the floor. So I don't know, man. That's kind of an interesting question. Do you feel JJ, that Luka is better than Embiid on both ends of the floor?
I wouldn't say on both ends of the floor. I think Embiid's a much better defender on defense, but on offense, I mean, Embiid's very good. Embiid's very underrated. I thought he should have won one of those two MVPs the last 2 years. Just because he got hurt, I think that's why he didn't win it. But I don't know if I can really give you an exact definition. But I do think Embiid's a better defender. I would say Luka's probably a little better on the offensive end, but I would say Embiid is better on defense and Luka's better on offense.
Word, word. Shout out to my guy, Anthony. Anthony, I appreciate you, man. Y'all make sure y'all smash that like button, comment, and subscribe to the channel. Make sure you guys join the membership of the Best of Seven Sports Talk. Also, be sure to check out my guy, JJ Peters, in the Sports Town Network here on YouTube as well on social media, all platforms, man. Definitely doing his thing when it comes to sports. Yeah, man. Who has been JJ, or what rather, has been the biggest surprise so far in the first half of the NBA season to you?
Well, the biggest surprise is how, I mean, this isn't necessarily a team, but the West is not as good as the East. I haven't seen, I mean, last year we kind of saw that the East was a bit better than the West, but to see the East or to see the West, I think it's what, anywhere between the 3 seed and the 12th seed or the 13th seed. There's only a few games apart. To see that, and then, of course, to see the Suns. I know they've had a lot of their injuries, but they're off to a slow start. Now, the Durant trade, I think, is going to make things much different. Denver has been much better than I thought they would be. It also probably helps that Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. are healthy for the most part. And, of course, Jokic is playing well. But I would say probably the biggest surprise to me is how open the West is. It has not been this open in quite some time. And, of course, how good Denver's been is probably my two biggest surprises.
Do you think that the Eastern Conference, like today, you think the Eastern Conference is the stronger conference right now?
I think right now, yes, because you have the two best teams in Boston and Milwaukee. Cleveland's been really good as of late. Now Brooklyn's going to, and of course Philly, you can't forget about Philly. Now Brooklyn's going to, I don't think they're going to end up making the playoffs, or maybe they might make the play-in tournament. But I think right now the East is better than the West just because of how the records are completely different. Now I understand, you know, the West that, or the East plays their East more, and that might be another contributor. But right now, I think the East is stronger.
I can respect that. Yeah, because coming into this season, I definitely have been impressed. If you would have asked me a week ago, 2 weeks ago, which one was the better conference, I would have definitely said that the Eastern Conference seemed to be the stronger conference this season. I don't know, though, bro. Kyrie and KD going over West?
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't really seen anything, you know, not really enough sample size to say that the vibe has changed or shifted. But I think those were huge moves as far as bringing the West back up to speed, you know, having Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, among some others, go there. The biggest surprise to me, honestly, was Russell Westbrook accepting his role as a Laker. I know he's no longer in LA, but you know, Russell at one point was looking like the sixth man of the year, playing, you know, coming off of the bench. He was making less mistakes. He was getting people involved. He was doing this thing coming off the bench. He looked like he accepted his role from a first year head coach in Darvin Ham. And that really surprised me coming off of last year's performance. So honestly, Russell was my biggest surprise in the first half of this season. What about disappointments? Any major disappointments in your eyes, JJ, when we talk about the first half of this actual year?
Well, the biggest disappointment, most people would probably say the Lakers just because of Clicks, but I think we all kind of saw what the Lakers were going to be this year with the first year head coach. Right now, it seems like it's all LeBron right now, and Anthony Davis is somewhat healthy now, I guess. The biggest disappointment, I mean, Brooklyn was kind of a disappointment this year just because they were going to be really good. And then, of course, the whole Kyrie situation, then he ends up getting traded, and then Durant gets traded. I mean, I don't know if there was really a big disappointment. I would probably have to say Brooklyn at the moment. Now, Phoenix is off to a slow start, but all those injuries, I was hoping the Clippers would be a little bit better. They've had a lot of injuries, but they've gotten, seems like they've got Kawhi and Paul George healthy. I don't know if there's probably a combination for me for the biggest disappointments. But I would probably right now say the biggest disappointment is just because we weren't able to really see the whole Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant thing play out this year. Right. I would probably say that as of now for the biggest disappointment.
For me, it's just clearly the Lakers front office. It's clearly the Lakers organization has just been the biggest disappointment to me, JJ, when I think about all the adjustments that people have been crying and begging for to help LeBron James in this journey, and those adjustments and things just haven't been done for whatever reason by Rob Pelinka. He's not signing the shooters that was been needed. He hasn't really given us the size until as of late. They tried to make some moves, but these have been the you know, the things that the Lakers have been falling short of for maybe 2 years, and going through the first half of the year, AD not really being consistent and available, you know, LeBron doing unbelievable things. But I'm just looking at the moves that the Lakers have made and didn't make. That really has been the biggest disappointment to me, because you're looking at LeBron James passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in all time scoring, passing Magic Johnson in assists all times, but then turn around and miss the playoffs again. It's not going to be a good look. So yeah, I'm not really impressed with the way the Lakers have set up LeBron for failure.
It does seem like the Lakers have already, or before the trade deadline, it kind of seemed like they had already given up on the season and they weren't going to go all in until this free agency. But it has been disappointment to see how they just haven't really been able to click. Now, lately, they've gotten a little bit better. They made some trades. Now, I thought today, of course, Kevin Love, I think, just signed with Miami. I thought they might go ahead and try to sign Kevin Love just because of that relationship between LeBron and Love. They won a championship in Cleveland. I thought they'd pick him up. They didn't, obviously, but it just seems like, yeah, the Lakers have kind of already given up on the season and are just going to go for next season. So,
what's your thoughts on the Kevin Love move? Because it was basically talked about either the Lakers, Philly, or Miami. And like you said, it looks like he's going to be headed down to join Jimmy Butler, Pat Riley, and those guys down in Miami. What do you think about Kevin Love joining the Heat?
Well, I think it gives the Heat more shooters. I did see a lot of Heat fans were not happy that they were not able to make the move for Durant. And I was kind of surprised, too, because it didn't seem like they were super aggressive on the Durant trade. But I think that Kevin Love is a nice signing and, you know, gives him another shooter off the bench, gives him another guy. I like the move. I don't know how far they're going to get. But we all know Jimmy Butler turns into Jimmy Buckets in the playoffs, and he just usually goes off at least one or two series. So I think it does give him gives the Heat another shooter.
Cool. Make sure you guys follow me on social media. This is the Best of Seven Sports Talk. If you guys enjoy daily NBA content, 24/7, 365, chopping it up, talking about all types of topics in the NBA. Also, become a member here today of the Best of Seven Sports Talk. We have exclusive perks, prizes, giveaways, and content. So become a member, join the membership here today on the YouTube channel as well. We got JJ Peters of Sports Town Network joining us, chopping it up, man, breaking down the first half of the NBA season. Now, we kind of spoke on this a little bit briefly, JJ. I wanted to get your thoughts, man, because it's iffy if the Lakers are actually going to wind up making the play-in tournament, you know, making a postseason appearance. And I'm looking at all the things that LeBron James have accomplished this year. If the Lakers somehow, some way misses out on the playoffs again, what does that do for LeBron's legacy as well as this GOAT argument?
I think it will hurt his GOAT or hurt his legacy a little bit, but it's not his fault. I mean, he's been playing hard. It's just the Lakers haven't been able to give him what he needs to succeed this year. He did win a title, so I think he kind of already has done what he needed to do with the Lakers. He made them, they hadn't been good for a while when he came over and he helped them win a title. I mean, he's played hard. I mean, he's been great this year. He's been a little bit in the MVP discussion. He's not going to win it, of course, but I think it might hurt him a little bit, but I think his legacy is already cemented. Now, I would still have MJ one, but I do think he surpassed Kareem as the second greatest player of all time when he went ahead and broke the scoring record. So I think it hurts his legacy a little bit, but I think for the most part, it's already set in stone.
Wait a minute. Because it sound like you put Michael, it sound like you snuck in there and put Michael Jordan above LeBron. Did you do that or am I just hearing things? Are you another one of these guys that's doing that?
Well, I mean, I do think Jordan is the greatest of all time, but I do think LeBron is number two. I think, I don't know if anybody is ever going to surpass MJ, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think anybody. I mean, he's got six titles. He's got five league MVPs. I mean, I think LeBron is the greatest of this generation. But at the end of the day, I think it's always going to be Michael Jordan, just like in the NFL. I don't know if anybody ever is, even if Patrick Mahomes plays well, I don't think no one's ever going to surpass Tom Brady.
Okay, I got to talk to the bosses. This is where the show about to go left. I didn't really anticipate or expect this one. So y'all going to have to bear with me in the live chat, man. Salute to you guys. So let me ask you, JJ, because you know your stuff, man. What is it about Michael Jordan? Because if you've watched the Michael era, you definitely watched the LeBron era. What is it about Michael that still you have him above LeBron? Knowing the level of competition that LeBron has done, mm-hmm. knowing the 20 years of consistency, knowing that he's done it on three franchises, why do you still put MJ above the rest?
Well, I think it all comes down to, you know, six championships. And I think when he went to play baseball for those year and a half, about 2 years, I think he probably would have won. And this is, or that didn't actually happen in Houston, ended up winning the title. But I think at the end of the day, just those six titles is where it's going to go. And of course, five league MVPs to four. Now, LeBron did have more points scored, but he played longer. I think, and you also have to remember too, with the prime, I think MJ was better. But at this time, MJ was not the same as LeBron was. It's incredible what LeBron is doing, especially at his age. But I just think it's going to come down to titles. So.
Got you. Okay, I can respect that. This is the Best of Seven Sports Talk, guys. Seven Mitchell in the building. We got JJ Peters from Sports Town joining us, man. This is about halftime of today's show. Before we get into the second half of the show, JJ, kind of let the people know what you got going on your platform, where they can follow you, and, you know, just the type of content that you bring to the table.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm the host of Sports Town Network. Now I have the Sports Town podcast as well. I used to do a podcast every week. Now it's kind of whenever I get the time. I'm usually uploading pretty much videos every day, football, baseball, basketball, mostly just football and basketball, but I do baseball. I do some hockey. I do some racing a little bit. Again, it's Sports Town Podcast or Sports Town Network. You can get me on TikTok, Instagram. You can technically find me on Facebook, and I'm not as active on there. I'm a lot more active on, you know, Instagram and TikTok and YouTube as well. Like I said, I release videos every day. They're usually just a minute or two just because I don't have a whole lot of time as much as I used to. But you can pretty much get me anywhere now. You can listen to me on podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, all that. And again, yeah, just the Sports Town Podcast or Sports Town Network.
Man, this guy is definitely one of those ones when it comes to a content creator for sports, man. And, you know, I got to give you your flowers, JJ. You definitely have inspired me. You know, watching you do your solo thing and, you know, how consistent you were doing with the reels and, you know, creating shorts. Like, I took that energy from you to help, you know, grow my situation a little bit better. And over the last couple months, it has definitely, you know, worked out in my favor. So I do want to thank you for, you know, just your drive and, you know, your consistency and you building your platform. Other people are definitely watching and it gives off definitely motivation. And, you know, I appreciate you just going so hard for yourself because it allows other people who really loves this to go hard as well. So keep doing your thing for sure.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yep. Like I said, I try to be active every day. There are some days where I won't release any videos, but most of the time I'm working on another video. It's been really busy lately, but thanks again. And pretty much just every day you can find one of my videos coming out.
No doubt. Let me give a quick shout out before we get back into the show. Shout out to my brother. He is in the building. K Doze, I see you in the building. My other brother, BA, Get Your Bars Up, is definitely in the building, man. Make sure y'all go check out those guys on social media. Also, make sure y'all check out my brothers at the In the Basement Sports Podcast. My brother Larry and my brother K, they are another dynamic duo that do their thing with sports. And of course, one of my biggest supporters here on the platform, my guy Anthony, all day, every day, man. Appreciate you guys joining us this afternoon. Make sure y'all smash that like button. If you guys are not members yet of the Best of Seven Sports Talk here on YouTube, join the membership today. Be a part of a lot of history that we're going to be making in the near future. I definitely thank you guys once again for your support. And just another quick reminder, make sure that you follow me everywhere on social media if you guys enjoy daily NBA content. If you guys would like to contribute or donate to the network or to the live stream, you guys know how to do so. Let's get back into the show. Second half work, third quarter, man. Let's talk about the Brooklyn Nets a little bit, JJ. I know you kind of brought them up. You know, it's not really a lot to talk about unless we want to speak on disappointment. But I really wanted to target the two moves that were made. Brooklyn moving Kyrie out to Dallas and, you know, KD to Phoenix. First of all, is this whole Brooklyn experience the biggest disappointment in NBA history to you?
It's one of the bigger disappointments. They weren't able to win a title, and they had the talent to do so. I don't think they even reached the conference finals. I think they got the closest they got to was the conference semis when they ended up losing to Milwaukee. But only playing, what, 60 or 70 games together was a disappointment. They also added James Harden to the mix and still really couldn't do anything. It is one of – it might actually be the biggest disappointments, because for a long time I thought that 2012-2013 Lakers team was a disappointment. But they actually made the playoffs. This Nets 3 or 4 years didn't even get to the conference finals. So I think they are one of the bigger disappointments of all time. And it was just sad to see, because you had Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, then they added James Harden, thinking they were going to do so much. And a lot of times they didn't even get on the floor together. So it might actually be the biggest disappointment of all time.
Yeah, when you think about it, for what it was worth and the potential and the expectation, like, I can't really measure anything else up. You know, I would put up there the Lakers when they had, you know, Karl Malone and Gary Payton, when they were really stacked and they lost to Detroit. I felt like that was probably one of the biggest disappointment all time history in the NBA. But this right here, because again, you guys are projected to maybe repeat, three-peat, like a dynasty could be formatted with KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. And the way that thing went down, like, they just never even gave themselves a real chance to make anything happen. What do you think about Kyrie Irving joining Luka in Dallas? Do you think that's just a rental, or do you think Kyrie could possibly be there to stay in Dallas for a while?
I love this trade, because it finally gives Luka a running mate. And I think if they do well enough, if they win one playoff round, I think Kyrie Irving would be convinced. Now, they have to pay him, of course, and I think Dallas has the money. I don't know. I don't think they've paid Luka the money that he deserves yet. I don't think they have. But
not yet.
But imagine a team with Luka and Kyrie. I mean, I really like that team, and I think that team can be formidable for the next few years, because, again, it finally gives Luka, because Luka hasn't really had any help. I mean, he had Porzingis early on, but you could definitely tell Porzingis didn't like being the number two or the Robin to Batman. So I love this move here, because I think Kyrie is talent-wise, he's still a top-five point guard. And absolutely, it's going to be interesting to see how they do the point guard situation, because I think they're going to have Luka at the one or Kyrie at the two. They could do both, but they could do both. I mean, and then if Kyrie's not playing or Luka's not playing, the one guy or the one person can lead this team. I love this move, and I think Dallas can get pretty far with Kyrie Irving and Luka, at least after this year. And I think if as long as Kyrie stays happy and he gets his paid, I think he's going to be there for a bit.
What about defense? Because even with Kyrie and Luka playing at the elite levels, they are both suspect defensively, and especially as a unit, as a backcourt. Do you have any concern, even though you like the trade, do you have any concern defensively that could cause a problem once we get into April and May?
I think it will be a bit of a concern, but I just think the way this could end up going, this could go very well. Now, it could all explode. I mean, Kyrie might, something might happen and he might not like it and leave, and it'd be technically a waste, and Brooklyn would have won that trade. And yes, the defense is a problem, but I feel like the upside could be bigger than the downside is what I'm trying to mention here. So
I got you. Now, we talked about help and support systems for Luka. You know, last year he had a little bit of help from Jalen Brunson. That was pretty much his breakout season. And I think they went to the Western Conference Finals last year, right? Mm-hmm. And on paper, you would say that Kyrie is better than Jalen Brunson. So that's definitely a good help on paper. Do you think that the baggage that Kyrie Irving brings is going to be a problem for the culture of Dallas? Because mind you, JJ, the owner, Mark Cuban, who is Jewish, had a issue with Kyrie and the whole documentary thing back then. I mean, I saw Mark Cuban go on interviews and kind of talk about Kyrie Irving. Do you think that that could actually wind up being a problem long term before the season end, as far as the baggage that Kyrie, quote unquote, brings to a team locker room?
Yeah, it could be. I didn't know that whole Mark Cuban thing, but it could be a problem for the Mavs. And it is nice, though, that, you know, Kyrie Irving has a relationship with Jason Kidd. And yes, it could go all poorly. And, you know, if Luka or if, Kyrie Irving doesn't get his way, things could get very ugly. But I think, I don't know if Kyrie has learned his lesson, but if he learned his lesson from earlier on back in what it was, October or November, I think this could go very well. Now, again, it could all go bad. Problems could happen. He could end up leaving and it would be a loss. But you saw, like I said, I forgot about Jalen Brunson. When Jalen Brunson and Luka were together and they made the conference finals. And I just think this could, the upside, there's so much good that can happen from this. So it could be a problem, but I just think if they play well together and as long as Kyrie and Luka are good friends, I think this could go very well for the Mavs.
Now, you brought up a name that I think is very important that a lot of people have not really spoke on, and that's Jason Kidd. Do you think this is an opportunity of a lifetime for Coach Kidd to really break out as being the next big thing, you know, after Steve Kerr? Is this Jason Kidd's opportunity to really show what he has if he's able to pull this off with Luka and Kyrie?
I think it could be. Like you said, you know, he coached, I think it was in Milwaukee and Brooklyn, and that didn't last very long. And if he can do well here in Dallas and he can get a relationship between Kyrie and he can have a, I think he already has a pretty good relationship with Luka, it seems like. This could go well for Kidd. I don't know if he could be as successful as Steve Kerr, because Steve Kerr has been very good, 4 championships in a span of, 8-9 years. So
yep.
I think this could go well, and I don't know if he could get to the Kerr status, but if he can at least get to a title or win a title, that would put him in the elite status for coaches, definitely. Yeah.
U754 said Luka is deferring to Kyrie isn't a good sign, and that was one of the big things. That's key that you brought that up, 754. That was one of the things that I saw when they first got the opportunity to play with each other. You see, when they wasn't able to even get a shot off because Kyrie was trying to defer to Luka and vice versa. How soon do you think they'll be able to get that part of the game together in your eyes, JJ? Do you think they'll be able to get that part squared away sooner than later?
It might take a bit, but I feel like they have to get this together very quickly, because again, they have basically half the season before the postseason begins. And this Mavs team needs to win a playoff round, I think, to really build on the next year. Because I don't think they're going to the title this year. I just don't think they have enough firepower. And plus, they don't have the chemistry yet. Okay. But I feel like it might take a bit, but they have to do something, because in order to win that playoff round, they got to get some chemistry. And it seems like there's a bit of a chemistry already, but I feel like they need to get this pretty quickly. I think it might take a bit, though.
Okay. Anthony said he feels like they should be able to get it done before the playoffs. Okay, we'll see how that plays out. Mm-hmm. Let's shift gears to the Kevin Durant side of things. Kevin Durant was traded. He's moved over to Phoenix to play along with Chris Paul and Devin Booker. What was your reaction when you found out that Kevin Durant was actually moved, and how much of an impact does that have with Phoenix now in the Western Conference in your eyes?
Well, I was shocked because they didn't have to trade any of their alt. They didn't have to trade Chris Paul. They didn't have to trade DeAndre Ayton, which DeAndre Ayton, I think, is still underrated in this part. But mm-hmm. I was a bit shocked. And they had to have to give up a lot of picks. But as long as they're still going to be this good, those picks will be later. So they won't really have as an impact unless it was a lottery pick. So I like this trade a lot. I don't know if they can make the finals this year, because I think they still have about 3 more years, because I think Durant after this year, what's a 3-year contract, I think he'll have left.
Yeah, he still has a few years left on his contract, so I think it'll be this year that we're playing it now, and I want to say 2 more after that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was a bit surprised, but I was kind of, you know, how aggressive Matt Ishbia was, and he hadn't even been the owner that long, to make that type of trade. And to give up what? They gave up Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder. They gave up, who were they else gave up? But they gave up multiple draft picks for him. And again, they didn't have to give up an all-star, which was kudos on the Suns' part. But I think I really like this trade a lot. And if the Suns don't make it this year, there won't be as much pressure, but they're going to have to get at least win one title out of this.
So Phoenix to you is not the favorite to represent the Western Conference this season?
I think right now, no, just because Kevin Durant is still hurt.
Okay.
But once he comes back, I think they will be one of the favorites. But I just don't know if there'll be enough time for them to make it all the way, just because I don't know where Durant's health is in this point. But I think once he gets healthy, they will be one, if not the favorite.
I want to read off to you, JJ, a statement by Kevin Durant. You know, he has not played yet in a Phoenix Suns jersey, mm-hmm. But he was asked at a press conference about his future. And I want to read off to you what he said, and you let me know what you thought of these comments. So Kevin Durant on his future, he says, I'm having a good time at the moment, and I can see myself being here for the rest of my career. However, who knows? I said the same thing about Brooklyn. Now, in all reality, he's right. You know, he's being honest. He's being transparent, so I can respect that. But if you are a fan of the Phoenix Suns, do you have a problem with KD kind of giving the indication that he's not going to be committed long term? I mean, we know this is business, but do you feel like the timing is off for this type of comment, or is it no big deal?
If I was a fan, I'd be a bit worried. But I mean, even if he only plays there 3 years and they get a title, I think that was worth it.
Okay.
But Durant has been with a lot of teams now, so I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves Phoenix. But I feel like if you get one of those titles, it's worth it. And I feel like they need to at least win a title for this to be a success, I feel like. But I think if I was a fan, I'd be a little nervous or be a little worried. But if you win a championship, it's all worth it, right? So I would Absolutely. Be a little worried. But, I mean, if you win a title, you win a title. So,
because I don't know when the last time that organization won a championship. Have Phoenix ever won an NBA title?
They've been, I think, the 2 in '93 with Barkley, and then they went 2 years ago and lost to Milwaukee. So, no, they haven't won a championship ever.
So he's trying to get that ring for Chris Paul. That'll be instrumental, definitely. Wow. Yeah, man, I just don't like it. You know, that's Kevin Durant. You know, he's going to be transparent. He's going to speak his mind, so I can respect that. And, you know, I don't feel like he said something wrong, but if I just got Kevin Durant on my team, I really don't want to hear you talking much about Brooklyn, and I damn sure don't want to hear you giving any type of light about you not being in my locker room for as long as possible. So, you know, maybe not a big deal, but that was something that I saw. I'm just like, damn, man, I wonder what the Phoenix fans may feel about Kevin Durant saying that, because it kind of shows to me that he could be willing to, you know, get up and leave a little bit early. How many times have KD actually demanded a trade? I think he played out his contract in OKC and in Golden State, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it was just in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Because he demanded a trade in the off season. I think it was in the summer, and then they ended up working something out, and then he stayed, and then, of course, eventually he got traded. But as of now, I think he's only demanded a trade once, and that was in Brooklyn.
I want to talk about Ja Morant real quick, because Ja Morant had some comments earlier in the season about how comfortable he was in the Western Conference, and, you know, he was really just feeling himself. And, you know, now as of late, now that the momentum has kind of shifted towards the West with Kyrie going West, Kevin Durant going West. Ja Morant said he's still not scared of the Western Conference. What is your thoughts, JJ, on Ja Morant? I don't think you and I ever had a conversation about this guy, but what do you see in Ja? Do you see superstar? Do you see champion? Do you like his arrogance, his bravado? What's your thoughts on Ja Morant, and how far do you think he could take the Memphis Grizzlies organization?
Well, I think Ja Morant is becoming a superstar, and I think he is already a top five point guard. He's very confident. I think sometimes he's a little bit too confident, but he's very good, very athletic. You saw last year the Grizzlies were the number two seed, got all the way to the conference semifinals, and took the Warriors to 6 games.
That's
but
right.
But Ja Morant got hurt in that series, and if he stays healthy, they at least go to 7, and maybe they end up beating the Warriors and maybe win the whole thing. Now, the Grizzlies are still a very young team with Jaren Jackson and Ja Morant. But I understand what he's saying, because the West doesn't seem as deep. But now you have Kyrie Irving, as you mentioned, going West, Kevin Durant going West as well. I think he's a little bit too confident, but at the same time, I think he's becoming a superstar. And I think the Grizzlies are going to be good for the next few years. I don't know if they make it all the way this year, but they have a good chance. And last year, if he's fully healthy, they might actually go all the way. So,
is there any validity in a quote-unquote rivalry between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors? Do you even see rivalry there?
I think we'd have to see them play one more playoff round because we've only seen him once. And the injury that Ja Morant suffered, it seemed like, I don't know if that was on purpose, but we've seen the Warriors do a few things like that before, especially when Zaza did that to Kawhi a few years ago. Right. But I don't know if I don't think there's a rivalry just yet. I think we have to see him one more time in the playoffs to really see a big time rivalry between the two clubs.
Okay. Fourth quarter time, y'all, here on the Best of Seven Sports Talk. We're getting down to the stretch of today's show. Again, salute to everyone that joined us today on the live stream. Let's get into the fourth quarter topics. JJ, who is the scariest player in your eyes in the NBA right now?
I think right now, I think I would have to say Luka. Now, Jokic has been good, but I think right now Luka would be scary. So would Giannis, though, because we're getting into that time where we're close to the playoffs or we're getting to that area or that time. And when we get to the playoff postseason time, it's scary. It's going to be scary to watch Giannis. I think right now Luka is the scariest. But, I mean, I keep on mentioning this as well. But imagine the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George can stay healthy. They have the experience. They could be scary as well. And we all know Kawhi, when he gets into the playoffs and when he's fully healthy, he's very good. But I think right now it's either Luka or Giannis.
I was going to say Giannis is the scariest person in the NBA, but U754 gave me another name who was definitely, when I think about it, the most scariest person in the NBA, maybe in history. And that is this guy, Mr. Ben Simmons. Now that I think about it, Ben Simmons is terrifying. He is horrific. He is definitely the scariest player in the NBA for all the wrong reasons. But when we talk about production, I'm going to go with Giannis, JJ. I think just that domination on both ends of the court, and he's so young, and he's a champion, and he's MVP multi-times. Giannis, to me, is not the best player in the world like some are projecting, but I do feel like he's the most dominant. So I'm saying Giannis for the most scary.
Yeah, I would agree. I would, yeah, because we all know Giannis is very good when it comes to the playoffs. A few years ago, he had that moment. And yeah, I mean, Giannis, very good. I would say he's very scary as well. And yeah, Ben Simmons, what a disappointment. I mean, that's one of the guys that at one time was a top player, and all of a sudden things just came crashing down, and it just completely went out of control. And I never understood the I know we're not necessarily talking about Ben Simmons, but I don't understand why they always put him at point guard. I always thought he would have been a better 3 or 4, even 5, to be honest with you. But what a disappointment for Ben Simmons.
Where do you go from now when it comes to Ben? Like, do you feel like he wants to play basketball still?
Not necessarily, to be honest with you. He pretty much does everything except he doesn't shoot. And he, like, every time he gets the ball, you can tell he does not want to shoot, doesn't want anything a part of it. And it doesn't seem like he's too motivated at the moment. I mean, maybe something will happen where he'll get motivated, but the Nets are kind of stuck with Ben Simmons right now. And
yeah,
I mean, it's crazy. Just like, what, 2 years ago, he was considered a top player, and just everything went crashing down for Ben Simmons. And it just doesn't seem like he wants to play at the moment.
U754 said Ben Simmons is playing like the Monstars took all his powers.
Yep, that's a good one.
Shout out to Space Jams. No doubt, no doubt. All right, last but not least, man, here on the Best of Seven Sports Talk, last question of today, man, for JJ Peters. Again, man, make sure y'all check out my brother JJ Peters at Sports Town Network here on YouTube as well as social media. I do want to ask you, JJ, before we get up out of here, do Luka or Joker have the brightest future? When you look at the overall body of work and the career projected, who has the brighter future, Luka or Nikola?
I think at the moment, I mean, Jokic has more had more success in the playoffs as of now, but I think Luka would have the more would have the brighter future, just because I trust Dallas a little more than I do trust Denver. But if Kyrie and Luka can get it together and they can, you know, get the chemistry, that could be a scary team for the next few years. So I'm just going to say Luka, just because I trust, and of course I think Luka's better, but I trust Dallas at the moment more than I do Denver. So I'm going to go Luka for the brighter future.
Luka to me by far is a better player than Joker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what I'm witnessing is Luka is going to struggle to get the hardware that Nikola has already put his hands on. Mm-hmm. He may still get the MVPs. It still could happen, but Nikola's off to an unbelievable start when we talk about accolades and, you know, building an individual resume. I do feel like Luka will have the brighter future, but it's going to have to be considered by people that really know the game. You're not going to just be able to go off of the MVP count or the mm-hmm. wins and losses. You're going to have to really break down the game, the struggles, the help that these guys got or didn't get. I think that, you know, Luka overall will definitely have the brighter future. I'm just not sure if he will have as many individual accolades as Nikola Jokic, because mm-hmm. Joker's gotten off to such a great start.
Yeah, I would agree there and as well. And if you also, say we fast forward to what, 15 or 20 years from now, Jokic isn't playing and Luka, I mean, he might still be playing. But if you look at Jokic's career overall, say he does win another MVP or wins another MVP, say he wins four league MVPs and doesn't win a championship, people are probably going to say, oh, man, he dominated without really dominated in this time. But I don't know if he necessarily did dominate, but people are going to, and then they're also going to see where does he rank. And there's only been a few players that have won that many MVPs. So it's going to be interesting to see where we, at the end of his career, where Jokic ranks and what we think of him as a player. So
one thing I think for sure is that the NBA is really trying to push this global brand initiative. And I'm not saying that Nikola Jokic or Giannis didn't deserve their MVP awards, but it's just ironic that you got those guys basically winning the last four or five awards. You have Joel Embiid in the mix as well. It seems like the NBA is putting these international players at the front of the line for them to lose these MVP races and stuff like that, you know, to help globally, you know, enhance the brand. I think it's a system and some method behind the madness of why some of these international players are always ranked at the top. I feel like, you know, the NBA is kind of placing them, not to say that they're not deserving, but it just seems like in order to help the brand grow globally, we're seeing these guys be put at the front of the line only to, you know, to either keep it, stay there or lose. So mm-hmm. it's going to be interesting, but, you know, I agree with you 100%, man. I feel like Luka probably will have the brighter future at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think so too. And you also have to remember, too, with Denver and Dallas, I mean, they're both not big markets, and that might mm-hmm. hurt both of them at the end of the day. But I think, at the end of the day, I think Luka's going to end up being better. I do think Luka wins at least one or two MVPs, but we'll see what happens. And, you know, like, Luka's only, what, 23? I don't think he's even 24 yet.
Yeah.
And he's still got a lot of time left. So it'd be also interesting to see if he stays in Dallas, which I think he will. But that's down the road, of course. But we'll see.
All right, guys, you are now rocking with the best. This is the Best of Seven Sports Talk. I am Seven Mitchell. That is JJ Peters with the Sports Town Network. Again, make sure y'all check him out all on social media platforms. I appreciate everyone stopping by this afternoon to check out the show. Once again, smash that like button. Subscribe to the channel if you guys are new here to this platform. If you guys are new as well, make sure you become a member and follow me everywhere on social media. I definitely appreciate all the support from everyone in the live chat. Great opinions, great conversations. Anthony, again, I appreciate you, Jog, being the great moderator that you are. JJ, once again, brother, just thank you so much for coming by. I cannot wait to have you back on around playoff time, bro. I'm going to definitely need to have you back in the mix.
Yeah, thanks again for having me on. I got to bring you back on my podcast. I haven't done as much interviews lately, but we need to talk about basketball because it's definitely heating up. But yep. Again, thanks for joining me. And you can check me out on Sportstown Network, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. So,
absolutely, man. Y'all make sure y'all check us out. Y'all stay safe. Have a great week. And we will catch you guys later on, man. Y'all stay safe. And we are out of here. Peace. All right, man, I want to thank you guys for listening into another episode of the Best of Seven Sports Talk. I'm Seven Mitchell, man. Make sure you follow the show to be sure to be notified about the next episode. Also, I'll put the Linktree link in the description so you can follow us on social media as well as donate and contribute to our platform. See you guys again on the next episode. Peace.